In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be
16. Hammer, we're looking back at the top 20 games of the Kings season. We just went over one of the many Kings victories against the Lakers. It was just after Herter got hurt. Malik hadn't been hurt yet. Keon was starting. And I posed the question because KC said that win against the Lakers, like they were in like the seventh spot or something like that. And I asked, do you think we maybe romanticize the what if Malik hadn't gotten hurt a little bit because they had played kind of without their footing, it felt like, a lot this during the season. They were constantly, it seemed, trying to figure different things out. And we just kind of lean on the, oh, if Malik had been healthy, it would have been different. Or are you of the belief if Malik had been healthy, it might have been a little bit different?
No, I think if he had Malik, it would have been a little bit different. And I don't know, a lot different, but we're talking one or two games is the difference between you being, you know, in the play-in or you having home court or you beating a team that may have helped get New Orleans into the playoffs so you wouldn't have had to play them.
Now, that's a good like point, that, too. How could you have avoided New Orleans if you won two more games?
Right.
Yeah, I think that that's going to be the biggest thing is how do you avoid the one team that for some reason you couldn't beat? Well, there's two. It's them and the Houston Rockets. So whatever the problem was, whatever the formula is there, that was a problem for the Kings all season long. But yeah, I don't want to like make it all on the fact that Malik got hurt. But I think Malik getting hurt in combination with Herter getting hurt,
yeah,
it did matter. It mattered a lot. You know, we've talked about this so many times. That's 25 points a game. But it's also 8 assists per game. And when you take away secondary playmakers, when you take away the guys that are taking the pressure off of De'Aaron Fox, it really allowed defenses just to focus on him so much. And, you know, Mike had no choice but to run him out there for nearly 40 minutes a night trying to get something done. That doesn't really help you when all the focus is on him. So, yeah, I think it did impact them. And you know, whether it's enough to be a playoff team or not, I don't know, you know, hindsight or whatever. We have no way to predict that. And I would at least like to have seen it go a different way and see how it played out.
James, the game that we're talking about, that's number 19, was a March 13th game against the Lakers at home. It was an ESPN game. They had just beat up on the Bucks. They had lost the game. What game did they lose before that, before the Bucks game? They had a bad
Detroit.
They lost to Houston. They lost to Houston on a Sunday. I remember that. And they were like, oh, now you're facing Milwaukee and the Lakers coming to town. 129-94 against the Bucks, beat the brakes off them. And in a back-to-back, beat the Lakers on national TV. One of the things that kind of stood out as I was watching that game over again was Keon Ellis started. Keon Ellis looked really good. Like, as a starter, and it's one of these things that happens when you go back and watch these games, you kind of forget, at least maybe I do, you forget, like, there's a reason there's a conversation about Keon starting, because he seems to fit with these guys. And, you know, I think he had 14 points in that game. He can knock down a shot. He was 3 of 5 from beyond the arc in that game. And I don't know. It just re-sparked the idea of, you know, if they did go with the Keon starting at the two, I think that'd be a good look too. Do you remember much about that game at all, or like how it went?
Well, no. Look.
Sorry, James, go ahead.
I would say most games bleed in together for me. So, no, off the top of my head, I don't. I mean, I can look at the box score and remember the game where
Malik
the Kings
Monk
just absolutely.
Malik Monk did
they
die.
They ran him over in the third. Ran him over in the third.
Malik died in the game. We just watched the clip where he ran into, I guess, AD's like abdomen or something, and just died. Like he fell face first.
Say, hey, bro.
He laid on the ground face first without moving for several seconds before Domas just kind of hit him like, hey, boy, what's going on? And Malik That's slowly wild. Rolled over and miraculously came back to life. Though he was dead for a brief moment.
Look, all of these games, they kind of bleed in together for me, and I would like to tell you I could break each of them down. Kenny, your memory works a lot better that way than mine does. But this is one of those stretches of the season where you started to see the Kings get contributions from everybody. And there's even, you know, Chris Duarte in that game coming up with 2 big threes.
Yeah, he played well.
There are little pieces to the puzzle that seem to be happening for the team around that time in the season. And then, of course, the wheels fall off the bus a little bit down the stretch. But, they had a lot of, like, really, really high-level wins and a back-to-back like that against the Bucks and then the Lakers. That's about as good as it gets, you know, especially with all the exposure and all of what's running up against you, you know, at that point in the season where you have to win games. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, good game.
It would have. There's this season. The Kings season is filled with fascinating what ifs, but Herter going out, Keon starting, and Malik staying healthy, I think, is a fascinating what if, because they had won a couple of games with Keon Ellis as the starter, and you know what Malik can provide. What would that have meant for last year, and maybe just as importantly, what would that mean for this year? Losing both of them is so tough because it feels like it leaves multiple unanswered questions. You know, losing Herter, and that's a lot to overcome when you lose, you know, basically your entire two-guard depth.
Right. You were saying that in the moment, that, like, you lost everything almost.
Yeah, but having Keon with Malik as the guy coming off the bench still being the spark would probably have gone a long way in helping Mike understand, if he doesn't already, what he should do this year. It creates a completely different type of picture, in my opinion, Hammer.
Yeah, and I would point out too, so like we remember that Keon, the first 7 games that Keon started, the Kings won last year, and they won 9 of the first 10 that he started. The first time they lost was they lost to Washington on March 21st, which is still a stunning loss. That's like they should have won. If they could have won that, they would have won the first 10 games he started. But then if you get past that, they lost the first game to Denver. It's to Dallas. It's in the second game against Dallas that Malik Monk gets hurt, and that's where Keon has to play incredible minutes. He played 38 minutes, 4 of 9 from 3. But from that point on, you can kind of track and see what it was that happened, you know, with this team, how they handled the stress of the remainder of the season. Am I way off with this? Oh no, that's just starts. Yeah. So, I don't think we're way off by thinking that that Malik Monk and Keon down the stretch would have made an impact. That having those three guards in your rotation would have, you know, with Fox, would have made some sort of impact. But I also think that the injury to Herter, followed by the injury to Monk, it really did open the door for you to give Keon a full test drive and really look and see who and what he is as a player and how he can impact the game going forward. And I think, like, from my point of view where I sit in the building, I thought he did enough to warrant at least a really, really strong opportunity to win the starting job. Whether Mike feels that way or whether the front office feels the way, I don't know.
And that was kind of my question, is the fact that both of them got injured might have created more questions than answers.
That's a good point. That's a real good point. And the thing about that is, and I know the Mike and the whole staff have done this stuff, but I know just me going back and watching these games, Keon, you see it. You see how it fits. You see what he brings to the table. I mean, he was harassing D'Angelo Russell and making his life a living hell. And he can hit the spot up shot, you know, and it's like, man, it just spaces the floor out even more. We think of him as like this, just a defender. Like, no, he can shoot. Like, you talk about spacing the floor. He can do that. And as I was watching that game, I was trying to figure out, like, where the minutes come from for all those guys, like with DeRozan out there, who's minute. I guess Harrison would be the easy choice, but like, how are they going to all play together? Because they all bring a lot to the table. And I think if you can find a way, if Mike Brown can find a way to balance out the playing time and get those guys in there, that's another way they can be dynamic as a team, with having these different guys who are explosive in their own right. Like, I'm not saying Keon's going to go for 40 one night, but leave him open if you want to. He's going to hit damn near every three if you do that. And it's just the opportunities seem endless if he can find a way to get everybody in a groove and in a consistent, like, consistent playing time.
Yeah, what I like about Keon too is, for as much as Malik brings this incredible energy on the offensive end and is this huge spark plug, I feel like Keon brings that on the defensive end. And, you know, every time you look at Keon, unless he's looking at the official with like his giant eyes, like claiming he didn't foul somebody, which he does a lot. But there's just like an energy and a force that he plays with, even for a skinny guy. You know, he's running around, he's getting in the way, he's kind of wreaking havoc, he's forcing bad passes that De'Aaron Fox just totally took advantage of the whole way down the stretch. You know, he's defending the toughest guy. And so these are, you know, adding to the resume of reasons why I would choose him as my starting shooting guard. Even if he's only playing 18 to 20 minutes a game, that doesn't matter. For me, it's about setting. You've got offensive tone setters for this team, right? You've got Sabonis, you've got Fox, you've got DeMar DeRozan. What you need is defensive tone setters as well. And I think Keegan Murray is one of those guys. And I think Fox is one of those guys on occasion. But I think Keon is always that guy. He's a guy who comes in. And again, there's like an abundance of joy and energy that he plays with. And you never see a game where he doesn't look like he's 100% engaged and ready to play and ready to bring some sort of energy. And that's something that, you know, we can talk about, like, first quarter bad starts that this team has had for years. Third quarter bad starts. I don't think you had nearly as many of those with Keon in the rotation and in the starting lineup, just because that's who he is. He brings like this spark, this energy that is contagious.
So I want to make sure I heard you right. If it was up to you, would Keon be the starter to start the season at two?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. And that's not a knock on Kevin Huerter or anyone else.
I don't even think the reasons need to be explained. Like, I think at this point, everybody understands. The only name, and this is super unfair, I feel like the only name that might get a reaction from Kings fans would be actually if Huerter started. Because I know we have talked about it, and like, it's not impossible, and laid out the reasons why. I think some people would be like, wait, why?
Right.
After what? Not that get Kevin Huerter out of here. Right, it's like, right. We saw what Keon did. We know what Malik can do. Why are we going back to Kevin? Because it's collectively our decision. Why are we going back to Kevin?
Well, I'd even say that the Devin Carter injury, it plays into this as well.
Forget about it.
Like, it's almost like they were looking for a higher end version of Keon. A guy who, you know, sort of stakes his claim as like a great defender, but also a great rebounder. And, you know, like, Devin Carter brings a lot to the table. But it almost feels like they were bringing him in to back up Fox or to maybe be a long-term answer at the two. And for me, I like Keon's a bigger player. He doesn't have the ball handling skills. He's not a playmaker like what you're going to find in a Devin Carter. But I do think he's probably a better fit, like, overall. And so I don't know. There's a point where, you know, we can all acknowledge that the Kings won 48 games and were an incredible offensive juggernaut with Kevin Huerter starting almost every single game the year before. So I don't think it's that Kevin Huerter did anything wrong. I just think that at a certain point, if you change a certain dynamic or two of this team, which they did when they brought in DeMar DeRozan, like, you have to support that change the right way. And that means that you have to find players that will play defense at a high level. You will have to find players that don't need to handle the ball, that don't need to go play make, and who are, you know, hiding on the perimeter, ready to shoot threes. And that's Keon way more than it's Kevin. And again, I think Kevin Huerter can have a huge role on this team, but I also believe that, you know, Keon Ellis can too, and that he can also be your best defensive perimeter defender. You know, like, I think he can be that. And so we'll have to see how it all plays out. I'm intrigued because this is what makes it so difficult for a coach. It's like, how do you put all these pieces in place and find success for everybody, make everybody the best version of themselves? And it's one of the most difficult things to do, especially at the NBA level, just because there's only so many minutes to go around, and you got to find ways to maximize everybody that you have. But for me, again, I think Keon just fits in a way that, you know, like, so many players, like a Danny Green fit with Philadelphia, or Danny Green with the Lakers, or Danny Green with the Spurs, or Bruce Bowen with the Spurs. Like, those are players that just have tremendous value in just staying within the confines of themselves and being extremely good at what they do and not trying to do too much.
You know, poor guy, I always do this. I forget about Devin Carter. I really do. And that's, well, because it seems like a stacked backcourt as it is. And then you add in a guy who's your first round pick, number 13 pick in the draft. People love him. There's so many things that people expect him to bring to the table. It's like, man.
Black Supreme Air Force energy.
Well, make sure you say Supreme.
That's what I said. That's what I said.
You don't want any problems with Devin Carter. But, I mean, I'm thinking about this in my head with the injury and everything. Is this a potential red shirt year for Devin Carter? You think he finds a way? Like, if the Kings are what we think they could be this year, you know, a potential top four team or whatever the case may be, when he comes back and he's ready to play, is he taking any minutes from anybody at that point?
It just depends on how the team's playing. Like, realistically, there is a way in which he does get redshirted. I don't think that that's the plan today. You know, I think that they would love to have him in the fold, but you got to remember, like, he's not getting cleared. He's not being reevaluated until January. And that means that once he's reevaluated, like, he's going to have to figure out how to get on the court for practice time, and then get elevated to the point where he can take contact and all that. So we're talking about, like, that mid to late January moment where he might be able, if he is cleared and he starts to get back on the court, that's in the middle of that crazy long road trip where, you know, the Kings are going to have a tough time either way. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think it's going to be a while, especially it's not like he's going to play training camp and then sit out for a bunch of time and then try to get back into game shape or something. Like, he's missing everything. He's missing everything from, you know, a month and a half ago until January. And that's not a good way to start off. You know, you want to be on the court. You want to be playing 5-on-5 with your teammates, getting a feel for De'Aaron Fox and all the other players that you're going to play with. And he's just not getting any of that.
I think it's okay that we don't talk about him right now because he's not going to be a part of the start of the season. It's not disrespectful. It's there's nothing he can really do. Mm-hmm. Like, it'll be potentially a great addition. And that's another complicated thing that Mike has to navigate. We talked about the complications of Herter's timetable. While it doesn't interfere with the regular season at all, it interferes with training camp, and like that's gonna, I would think, affect how, you know, Mike does things for the first half of training camp and then the second half of training camp. Same is probably true to a certain degree with Devin Carter, working him in at practice, getting him ready, you know, for that return date in January or February or whatever it winds up being. But as James noted, how is the team playing? And is it something where you're like, you just got to, sorry, kid. You're just kind of there. Like, it's not an indictment of you. It's right. just the way that things are going right game. Now. That's all it is. Yeah, yeah that's all yeah. it is. And, you know, maybe there are still scenarios where you could find ways to work them in and do all this different stuff. But it's a tough battle for him, for sure.
Yeah, and I would point out, too, like, we don't know what Jordan McLaughlin is going to look like for this team. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a possibility he's just really, really solid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like what he did last year for Minnesota, where, you know, dude shot like 45% from three. Like, he knew his role. Mm-hmm. And there is something about knowing your role. And there's also something about coming into the league and having no idea what your role is and how to play to a role, which is, I think, a problem that Devin Carter's going to have early in his career. Just like, let's be honest, like Colby Jones had a really mm-hmm. tough time trying to figure out, like, who am I and where do I fit in? And then there's one other thing I want to point out, which is maybe it's just me. I don't know. But like when the Kings sent out the press release for the Kevin Huerter update, you know, they go through it starts at Kings forward Kevin Huerter continues to progress through the return to play process. He has been cleared for on-court workout shooting drills and complete strength training. He will be reevaluated in mid-October. Prior to being cleared for full contact and contact court activity.
That press release just beat your ass live on the radio.
It was absolutely horrible.
But it happens to all of us. You know what got me reading it is the return to play process. Long phrasing, the return to play process. And
my dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It confused me every time I saw it, so I was glad to see that. I feel better
okay,
about myself.
Can I read the first two words of the whole thing to you again?
Yeah.
Forward. Kings forward.
Yeah. Oh, I see you. Okay, I see you. I see you. Yep. I see you. No, starting two guard. Yep, Kings forward. Okay.
He started 2 years as your starting shooting guard, and that's a press release you
So are you thinking DeMar at two?
Or Keon at the two with Malik Monk backing him up and Kevin Huerter as a three. Like, I don't know. I'm just looking around. Like, I'm just reading well, the press release. DeMar at the three. Kevin Herter.
Oh, Kevin back. Bench. Oh, got you.
Yeah.
Got you. Okay.
Yeah. So, like, maybe I'm reading something into that, but, like, starting guard or mm-hmm. King's guard or King's shooting guard, like, any of those things would have made me go, huh, all right, Kevin Herter. When you put King's forward, I'm like,
And honestly, guys, I think that's the way to go. I think that's the way to go. Have him at as your backup.
A hybrid.
Uh-huh. And at the very least, that's how we start the season. See how that goes. Okay. See if he can hang as a backup three, if you can work the minutes in and do all this other stuff. Because one of the reasons why I feel that way is because you can't not have Keon in the rotation, in my opinion.
Right.
So the way that you do that and keep Kevin Herter playing is he turns into like a three.
Okay. We'll come back. We'll talk more about this with James. We'll also get James's thoughts on a second professional sports franchise in Sacramento. Which one would he pick? Stilo and Casey here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Head over to MapTrician.com. Use the promo code DLO1320. Grab that essentials pack. Get 10% off of it. Of course, you can order anything you want to. If you just want some protein shakes, they can do that for you. You want the greens, powders, sleep enhancers. You want those cravings crushers that I take every day. They go a really long way. You could do that. Fat burner strength enhancers. I take all of that stuff, and I am being genuine with you when I say it works fantastic for me. In addition to the all-day BCAAs and the pre-workout BCAAs, those got me on point right now. MapTrician.com. Use the promo code DLO1320. Lots more really, really exciting things coming with Train with Map here in the coming days. Back here with James Hamm, talking a lot about Keon Ellis and kind of that starting two guard, made the backup three position for Kevin Herter, talking a lot about the Sacramento Kings. James, I want to bring you into a conversation we were having just before you joined us. The WNBA is expanding. They're headed back to Portland, which is annoying because Portland had a illustrious run in the WNBA for two seasons with the often remembered and just warmingly regarded Portland Fire.
Oh yeah, we love them. Do you remember a player from the Portland Fire?
No, I absolutely do not.
I don't either.
I do not.
Man.
But we were trying to figure out, you know, with the WNBA's growth, what is the, like, as Kenny calls it, the sweet spot for teams with that league? And Kenny thinks it's 20. We have at least committed to 15 with three joining over the course of the next couple of years. We were trying to work ways to get Sacramento back into, you know, the conversation for the WNBA. And then it sparked another conversation of if you had the opportunity to add a second sports franchise, what sport would it be? Would it be the WNBA? Would it be Major League Baseball? Or would it be MLS?
Man, it's tough. I think...
Because I don't think the NFL is expanding, so we just might be out of luck there.
Yeah. I think for me, it would be Major League Baseball. And it's because what we're going to see here over the next couple of years, not only do I think will be like a really fun brand of baseball, even if they aren't like World Series type team, I still think that they're going to be really fun. They've got a nice young core coming up. And I think that that's going to really light a fire under the city with regards to baseball in the same way that I think soccer did. I think it's a bummer that Major League Soccer has missed, and MLS, you know, like they announced and then they like have taken it back. And like the fact that they couldn't get the big whale. And then, I mean, from everything I hear now, like they've got an investor that not only would be willing to buy the team and be one of those whales, but also build an arena, build a stadium. But have you missed the boat type deal? And then with WNBA, I mean, I think we're at the beginning of the WNBA's real rise to prominence. And, you know, I think it's been a stellar league forever. I think that the play, but we're at the moment where, you know, women's soccer like had this moment in the late 90s, early 2000s with Brandy Chastain having this like incredible moment where all of a sudden, you know, everyone started watching women's soccer for a while. And I just think that we're at that moment with the WNBA there, and they just, I wish they would have been able to expand like 2-3 years ago and start growing out bigger then. So then they could take full advantage of this right now. But I think the television contract is gonna pave the way for them to be a much larger force. And I really wish that they could get the Monarchs back, because that's, I think, the easiest one. Mm-hmm. Like the Monarchs, you just put them on the schedule.
Yeah.
Like, right? Like you got to figure out a way to build a couple of locker rooms in the building. But even that, I think, is totally possible. I think they have it set up where,
well, if they can add two new lounges every year, I'm sure they can figure out a way to add a locker room.
Absolutely.
You can go down trying to go to the bathroom. I'm sorry, where the hell did this come from? This is lounge like dripping in gold. Like, where did this, was not here when we left.
That happens every year,
every single year. Well, we can find a locker room.
I mean, that, again, it's turnkey, right? All you have to do is somebody has to say, hey, we'll write the check, and away you go. I just don't know that that's, you know, again, Vivek's attention is taken towards baseball right now, and rightfully so. He's on the, I mean, he's landing a major league team for at least 3 years and probably, and a good chance of a lot more than that. But there's also potential for this to be the permanent home of the Sacramento A's. And I don't care what they, Major League Baseball, wants me to call it or not. I mean, they're the Sacramento A's. They're going to be here for 3 years. That's good enough. They're going to play all their home games here. So I think the baseball is just closer. But I love what's happening with the WNBA. And, you know, Dame, what's your thought on the WNBA and its growth? Because I know you're like an old school WNBA guy, but are you, like, the way that it's happening, I think it feels uncomfortable for some people and perfectly fine for others. And there's like this combative thing with Caitlin Clark and everything. But as someone who's watched it forever, where would you sort of put your thoughts into this?
The Caitlin Clark thing is weird. It's always going to be weird. Like, I don't understand why a group of individuals have championed her the way that they have when she has no interest in being championed by them. Mm-hmm. But the growth of the league has really, I think they're finally starting to take advantage of things they didn't take advantage of before. My biggest knock on the league has always been, and I understand this is a very, very, very fine balance in leagues, businesses, radio shows. It's a very fine line of delivering what the people who love you want, your paying customer wants, while still attracting new customers. And for so long, they appealed to one singular group. Every year, the WNBA promo would come out and it'd be whatever girl record was out. Power girl, it's just whatever dumbass pop record. And it's like, yeah, okay, this doesn't explain the league. That's not what this league is. Like, you have tried to make the league this. That's not what it is. The use of social media, the allowing these women to become stars through social media with their walk-ins and all of that different stuff helps create different audience. Angel isn't just a star because of what she does on the floor. Angel's a star because of what she does off the floor and what she's embracing off the floor. NILs in college have helped with that stuff. The play has always been there, but man, it feels like these women are getting better and better and better every year. Like, Asia is already in the conversation for one of the greatest of all time, and that is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like, she could stamp this out as the greatest of all time. And James, I think you said this great at the beginning of what you were talking about a second ago. We're at the beginning. Mm-hmm. This is the beginning of the explosion of the WNBA. And there is so much more ahead, because Angel's going to get bigger. Caitlin is going to get even bigger. And then you got Juju coming in a couple of years. You got Paige Beckers on her way in. You've already got people like Sabrina and Asia kind of bookmarking this thing. Like, this is the highest level of superstar athletes the league has ever had. The league has never had this many superstars in its league at one time.
Yeah, I think it's interesting too, because it feels like if they do this right, if they all pull together, and if they allow themselves to like take a step back and say, like, look, the next generation of NBA players are going to look a lot more like Steph Curry, right? The next generation of NBA players have always looked like the great players that they that are now gone, right? You always have this progression. Like, I wish that like some of the stars at WNBA right now, the aging stars, would embrace that there's a Caitlin Clark and there's a, you know, a Sabrina and all of these players and an Angel, but because of them, because they've fallen in love with the WNBA and realize that they can go be professional basketball players and embrace the fact that they blaze this trail. And this is a natural progression of leagues. You blaze a trail, but then the next generation is better. And the next generation after that, it's better. And its specific players are better, but the overall feel of the game changes so much. We talked about it today. Like, James Harden is quietly going to become the number two three-point shooter of all time this season. He'll pass Ray Allen. And that's just wild. It's wild that James Harden shot over 1,000 three-pointers in a game. And it's because that's the generation that, like, we just keep seeing the game evolve and morph. And I think the WNBA right now is in one of its first initial evolve and morph into something bigger moments, and they're fighting it, and you're like, ah, stop fighting it. It's okay to like let everyone have success and just roll with this thing, and let's all succeed together, as opposed to like the petty infighting and weirdness that we've had some of this stuff some of this year.
Yeah, I think to a certain degree, I agree with everything both of you guys said, but to a certain degree, it's out of the WNBA's hands. What is going to happen and why they're going to go to another level is the culture of basketball, and the culture of women's basketball is on fire right now. Talked about it a little bit earlier. The WNBA ain't going to have to, they ain't going to worry about creating no stars. There are stars who I talk, like my girl Special K, I talk about her all the time. She's a sophomore in high school. She's a star. She's a star, a social media star. Everybody that follows basketball in that culture, they know who Special K is down there in Southern California, the moves she makes, the way she plays, all this other stuff. That's something they didn't have 15 years ago. It was up to the
Some people know coaches that went to visit her this week.
Oh.
I'm just saying some people. I'm just saying some people. Just some people.
Well, you dropped the bomb on me, Gap Band. Well, let's go.
Good song.
Let's go.
It's a good song.
Yeah, but
you know that's like, my girl. That's my girl right there. She can go. But like, it's not going to be up to the WNBA. It's all done for them. It's almost like the NBA. It's all done for you, because these young ladies are going to be stars. The problem in the past was the WNBA had to create these stars. They don't have to do that no more. These young ladies are stars coming in, and all they got to do is just keep giving them the platform. College basketball, 10, 15 years ago, it was UConn. That's it. And because it was UConn, to a certain degree, nobody wanted to watch college basketball because it was just UConn all the time. You'd get your Baylors in there every now and then. Maryland won one time, all this other stuff. But it was just UConn. Now, we talked about this all last year. There was like 20 teams that we were like, yo, they could go. They might be able to do it. And that helps build your sport as well. The WNBA ain't going to have to do nothing. They just going to have to make sure the TV deal is good, make sure you got all this other stuff, and they'll be there.
I disagree a little bit. They can't screw it up.
Well, don't.
I still think that's a little bit of a taller task for this league than it is for the NBA, right? I'll go back to it because I think it's one of the best lines I've heard about the growth of the WNBA was Cheryl Reeves. When that preseason game with Angel's first game against Minnesota wasn't aired properly on League Pass, She's like, sometimes I'm fearful that this league isn't equipped to handle its own growth. And that is a terrifying statement from a woman who knows this league. And it feels like they've corrected that, you know, as best as you can through the course of a season. But those are things that stick in my head a little bit.
No, very fair. I'll say they can't be stopped this time. Because in the past,
I hear you.
In the past, they don't air her first game. It's just loss. People are like, I don't care if they're not airing it. I want to see Angel. Somebody put
Someone
it on your
found
line.
It on Twitter. Yep.
I want to see Angel. I'm going to find a way.
2 million people watched a WNBA fan's video because she saw, I can't remember if it was Brittany Gray. She saw someone tweet that, how come this game isn't on? Mm-hmm. So, and then she started seeing that League Pass forgot to put the game on. And so she streamed it. And players, coaches, general managers from around the league, as well as like 2 million fans, were watching this girl's live stream because it was the only availability for that Sky Lynx game.
And that's the difference between now and then, because I'm just saying a name. You know, I love this young, this lady. But Yolanda Griffin wasn't the star, where if her game wasn't on air, people aren't going to be like, where do I find it?
Different
what
time.
Do I have to do to watch it? It's just going to go into the abyss.
Yeah,
now these young ladies are stars, are superstars, where if you're not providing the platform, they're going to find the platform so they can see these young ladies.
Yeah.
And all they got to your point, get out the way, don't mess it up, and just provide the platform. Get your media rights deal and everything you need to do so they can be seen, and just don't mess it up. That's it.
Yeah, it's tough too, because they're leaving so much talent out of the league.
Yeah.
And, you know, even like someone who doesn't watch a lot of women's basketball, I can tell you, like, their first round picks don't make teams.
Right. Which is
and
crazy.
Then they're just out of the league. Right. And then we watch the Olympics. Man, there are incredible players overseas. Incredible. I like, holy cow. Look at how good some of the other countries are.
Yeah.
Like, there is unlimited, untapped potential everywhere for the WNBA. They just have to find a way to grow as fast as they can without doing it in a silly way and without losing their way. But they need to get more teams in the league so more people can have like a hometown feel for, you know, what's my team. And I wish, like, again, Sacramento loved the Monarchs, and it's a turnkey operation. You just have to shell out the money, and you've got to convince them that
that's the other part, convincing the league. For some reason, the league didn't need convincing with Portland, but they did with Sacramento. So, frustrating.
Ham brings up a great point, though. WNBA hadn't even got to the point where they tap into the rest of the world yet. And once they get to that point, and like maybe the rest of the world picks up, because, you know, it's different.
A lot
it's
of those different. Girls do play in the league. I think people got thrown off by the fact a lot of them, when you have Olympic years, they don't come. It's like, okay, so there's an Olympic break. Okay, you can't go play 30 games in the WNBA. We need you here to train with this team. So a lot of the players that, you know, people were just fascinated over during that, they are in the league.
Right.
They just haven't been this year. And there are so many more eyes. And it's not, you know, shade. There's so many more eyes on it this year. Mm-hmm. Maybe you just didn't recognize that they are in the league. But that's right now, and this is where I think we'll see things change. Right now, the W isn't like that same level of priority. It's like, I gotta go play for my country, and then I'll go make that money in the second half of the season or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Hey, James.
Yeah,
No, I wanted to ask, because I want to hear what you think about this, because you've been here the entire time. We know what you would do if you could choose one of the sports. What do you think, if you put a vote to the city, and they say you can only have one, MLS, MLB, or WNBA, what do you think they'd pick?
I think that Sacramento's a baseball town. And maybe I'm wrong, but I do. I mean, I think it's a soccer town, and I think it was a great WNBA town, but I also, like, just look around. How many people do you see wearing Giants hats? How many people do you see wearing A's hats all the time? I mean, it is a...
And he wears Yankees hats. He wears Orioles hats. Anyone the Giants are playing, he wears their hat.
Oh, man, come on.
I know. Well, we had Abe today and talking White Sox, and the White Sox are probably the worst team in the history of professional sports.
That's a fact.
Well,
I mean,
running into each other.
That was a disaster. They are a disaster.
They've got 31 wins on the season. And check this out. Since July 1st, the A's are 31-22. Jeez. The A's, who are not good, have the same amount of wins as the White Sox in the entire season in the last 2 months.
They had the same amount of wins as the Utah Jazz did last year.
That's crazy. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Again,
I don't think you are. I don't think you are, Hammer. I didn't make an argument, but I did pose a question. We forget sometimes that time passes, and the Monarchs were 15 years ago. And what investment would a 25 to 30 year old have in the Sacramento Monarchs? They don't have the same warm, fuzzy feelings that we do about that team, about how good they were, about the 2005 WNBA championship. And the league wasn't then what it is today. So it was special for our city. I'll never forget that arena being, you know, sold out to the to the final seat. I'll never forget how loud it was when that buzzer went off. But that was a long time ago. That championship was 19 years ago. The folding of that team was 15 years ago.
You know what's crazy? You could easily have all three. And I'm not saying like pie in the sky. Again, it takes someone in the league office of the WNBA saying yes to the return of the Monarchs and them just playing at Golden One. It takes the A's having their situation just fall through. And it takes this one whale that can purchase the team and build the stadium for soccer. And again, look at the baseball, like it's going to take private. Somebody's going to have to come in and build the new baseball stadium. But I've even heard that's on its way to being lined up. So it's possible that all three could happen. And that's not even being like overly optimistic. This could be a four sport town very quickly.
I'd pass.
And
you look like Malik against the Lakers. Just kidding.
What would that mean for us?
Oh, man. That'd be great business for ESPN 1320. Well, we're done. Football is back tomorrow.
Football's back tomorrow, baby.
Football is back tomorrow. And D'Lo and Casey are back at Sky River Casino this Monday, 32 Brew Street. The food, the drinks, the infamous moments like James Hamm leaving the stage to go to the bathroom after multiple beers. All of that is back this Monday, as is 49ers football. We hope that you will join us. 32 Brew Street inside Sky River Casino. We will kick off the next NFL season tomorrow, beginning at 10 a.m. It's time to be serious, boys. All the goofing off is over. Football is back, beginning at 10 a.m. tomorrow with the Insiders on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Monarchs!
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.